This is Man-at-Arms, and you are listening to the Masters of Grayskull.
Thank you, Mr. Gary Chalk, as Man-at-Arms from the 2002 He-Man and the Masters Universe cartoon series for giving us that promo. I'm, of course, TFG, and Mike joining me is Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
Hello.
We just want to put this at the beginning of every episode for Masters of Grayskull. We dedicate every single episode of this to the memory of Dean Stephan. Dean, who was the writer, story editor, all that kind of stuff on the 2002 He-Man series, passed away May 15th of 2018. And not only are we doing this because we're finishing our Powers of Grayskull series podcast, we're also, I feel at this point, doing this in the memory of him, because the stories that he helped create and build for this series, it revitalized the MOTU franchise, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we didn't have a chance to ever talk to him for the show, but we can at least remember him as we move forward.
Absolutely. And now, on with the show.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia, defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 113th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, as he is every other chapter, is TFG and Mike. Hello.
Every other chapter, so I'm only on the odd ones now?
You are an odd one, so that would be fitting, but...
Well, you know, I am brain damaged,
that's
so...
true, and it's finally proven. Are you ready to return to Eternia, sir?
Asshat. Yes.
All right, well, in this episode of Masters of Grayskull, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of the series, which is Episode 16, The Monster Within, Episode 17, Roboto's Gambit, and Episode 18, Trust, Something I Don't Do With You. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Eternia.
At least you remembered the episodes this time.
Shut up.
Hey, not my fault.
Don't make me reveal the monster within.
No, please. What, you're really Pizza the Hut? Okay, then. I sure as hell am not your metal sidekick.
Keep telling yourself that. Mm-hmm. No, you're Barf.
Hey, Barf is pretty famous. I can live with that. I'll be a Mog. We're all Mogs.
No, this is Pogs.
It's Mog.
After the Emerald of Orcas Island.
Nobody messes with my friends.
Going somewhere, monster boy?
Yeah, right through you. What's happening to me?
You're part beast, right? That means I can control you. I should have tried this a long time ago.
First up today is Episode 16, The Monster Within. Air date of December 27th, 2002. That means it's the last episode of 2002. Written by Larry DiTilio. During a battle with the evil warriors Manny faces, Monster Guys is taken control of by Beast Man, resulting in feelings of self-doubt for the hero. Now, this brings up a good point, Mike, that I want to get your thoughts on.
Mm-hmm.
Beast Man can control animals and beasts and stuff like that. Manny faces, one of his is a monster-like beast. Why have we not thought of this before? And Beast Man finally decides to take control when he's that character.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
It does make perfect sense, but I don't know. I mean, generally, Beastman doesn't have a decent brain cell in his body. I mean, he's got squirrels running around on wheels up there half the time. So this is like, you know, his, you know, this is like, well, Beastman had a good idea. Well, he's due.
Just like Whiplash the other day.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I like this, a Manny Face centric episode. We get the, we not only get character development with Manny Faces and get to learn all about his different personalities and kind of the strengths and weaknesses of each one, but we also get an origin here because we're going to get introduced into a new characters that we see towards the end of the episode, which we'll get into in a second. But first off, I just got to say, Manny Faces is one of my favorite characters. He never got the time or the attention in the filmation that I thought he deserved. And here he gets an episode all to himself. And I just put down, Manny Faces is such a badass. So he's got the three different personalities, right? We have the robotic person that can do all the scanning and logical thinking, et cetera. We got the monster, which is just brute strength and badassery. And then we got the actual like human-like persona, which is more about him being an actor, a thespian, so to speak, and that he, you know, he's had this history of acting, which helps because he can put on these different faces and do different parts and whatnot. But you get that more when he's the human portion of his faces. And I love that they add an acting subplot here as to him pulling the wool over their eyes, because he's acting the whole time like he is being controlled when he isn't, towards the end. So I just like how they pull out the various personalities and what skill sets go with those personalities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incompetent morons! The Emerald of Orcas Island would have allowed me to unleash an unstoppable assault upon Castle Grayskull!
Well, if He-Man hadn't shown up,
He-Man always shows up, you fool! And it's obvious none of you are capable of eliminating him! Time to find someone who can. What I need are specialists. Creatures who are ruthless, cunning, and expert at destruction. Bounty hunters.
I know two who'd be perfect. Either one of them could take on He-Man. One guy's name...
Bring them!
Both of them?
Yes. We'll see which of them is better suited for the destruction of He-Man. Now go. All of you, you disgust me.
So, on top of that, we get introduced to Tuvar and Badra, two bounty hunters that I believe was a Whiplash that brought them in. So Whiplash decides to bring in Tuvar and Badger because Skeletor is complaining about his evil warriors not being able to get the job done. So these are two different bounty hunters that are going to come in, and Skeletor wants them both to go after He-Man and capture him. But they have a problem with that because, as most bounty hunters, they don't work in pairs. They work alone.
Yes.
So they eventually are stepping all over each other's toes and making it so that they can't succeed because they're each wanting to do it their own way and to have the capture, etc. So that causes some problems, which is going to result in them basically coming before Skeletor at the end and getting punished.
Oh, yeah. They get punished, all right.
And what happens to them, Mike?
They get magified where they are basically conjoined twins.
So Tuvar and Badra become Too Bad. Like we mentioned, Too Bad was supposed to be in the first episode, but they decided to hold off on it so they could do that here. So we get to see how they were formed together. And another thing, we get to see a little bit more of their personality as to how they were when they were apart. So that adds to the depth of that character once it becomes like a two-headed monster. Tuvar had like a badass bounty hunter look, by the way. If you want to see it, it's at behindthevoiceactors.com. I captured an image of just Tuvar and just Badra separately, as well as when they're together. And he has like a little like bounty hunter mask type thing on. It looks like he's right out of Star Wars.
Yeah, it does.
So what's there not to like? You get Too Bad, you get Manny Faces. This is a kick-ass episode.
Yes, very much is. It's one of those episodes where I'm glad that Too Bad was not in the opening three-parter, because, look, I still have questions about Trapjaw. Like he was, you know, this one person beforehand. I believe his name was Kronos. I could be wrong.
Kronos, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he looks normal in the beginning, but something happens between then and when we see him next, so I'm still wondering, you know, after all those years passed from that first battle when Skeletor's, you know, face got melted off, what the hell happened to Trapjaw? So I pretty sure we don't get an episode explaining that, but if we, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I'm glad that they didn't do that same thing with Tuban, just have him thrown in there and then not explain it. So I like how they did it here. I like everything about this episode. So
yeah, this episode is really cool.
Anything specific else that you wanted to point out that was good or bad?
Mm-mm.
Manny Faces gets a power sword for me. I think he's a badass. I was going to give Tuvar and Badger one, but I guess in the end they fail and they get joined together, so I'm not going to reward them for that. But I'm at a 4.5 on this one. What about you?
I'll give one to Manny Faces, one to He-Man and Skeletor, as always. 5. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. It was so much in-depth storytelling for, like... Okay, so you know how we always complain, or we have complained in the past, at least ever since 2007 and Spider-Man 3, don't put too many villains or don't put too many characters in a film or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when that happens, one side gets more attention than the other.
Mm-hmm.
This had equal amounts all around. You had building for Manny Faces. You had this whole thing with him. And on the opposite side of it, because it tied together with his story, you have... the too bad part, and it worked so well. So yeah, 5 out of 5.
All right. Yeah, a great way to start. And basically, if you take this episode, you take last week's last episode, which was the Cyclone episode, mm-hmm. and then you take what we're about to talk to with the Roboto's Gambit, like, I don't know if you can get a better back-to-back-to-back episode stretch. We'll see. That's 3 great episodes in a row. So we're going to take a break, and we'll talk about the third of those that I was just mentioning, Roboto's Gambit.
To Emperor D3. It is your move.
Cleric to Paladin B8.
Excellent move, Roboto.
Thank you.
And thank you for building Roboto for me, Man-at-Arms.
I thought you needed a worthy opponent.
He means unlike the rest of us.
All right, next up is episode 17, Roboto's Gambit. Air date of March 1st, 2003, written by Michael Reeves. When Triclops attempts to conquer Eternia with a multiplying force of minions, only a chess-playing robot can devise a plan to stop it. What do you think about this one, Mike?
I like this one. I think it's interesting. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but sadly, I'm very much like Tila. Oh, God, what the hell is happening to me? Because once I have my mindset on something, it's like, move forward, don't stop. Like, it's bad sometimes. Roboto is introduced, yay, plus you know, a full-on Triclops thing where it's just him doing his thing. Like, in Filmation, Triclops was not around very much. Whereas here, he's, you know, one of the main evil warriors that's always around. But we don't always get to see too much of what he does. And here we see that. Like, he has this idea that Skeletor doesn't think is going to work. And it does work for a while.
He honestly probably gets more time than, up to this point at least, he's gotten more time than Beastman.
Yeah.
It's literally Skeletor, Evil-Inn, and then Triclops probably for the most time. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I do like that. And Roboto, it's very cool. Again, we don't just get to see him in full form. We get to see how he comes about. The origin is cool. You know, how eventually he's just a game playing robot for the likes of Manny Faces when he's in his robot mode to play against or stuff like that. But that he is able to kind of overcome that and almost become a sentient being, I guess.
Yep.
and help think out how they're going to do this, because basically what we have here is these bone monsters. Once you defeat one of them, they multiply. So every time you defeat them, they become more and more and more and more. Skeletor didn't want to use them. Triclops went on his own to use them. So it's very interesting to see how that kind of goes back and forth. I like the build of these characters. And I like that the last few episodes, I'm going to go all the way back to Anwar Gar. These episodes almost feel like they're somehow packing way more than you would expect into a half hour episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah.
They feel like a multi-parter. They feel like almost a mini movie. There's a lot that they're doing with these episodes lately where it doesn't just feel like filler. It feels like, man, that was like, I just watched an hour long, you know, episode or something like that, and it's only 20 some minutes. So I like what they've been doing with that. I guess my one gripe here, isn't Teela supposed to be the military like-minded person through all of this franchise? It definitely was in Filmation. You know, her along with Man-at-Arms are in charge of the troops. They're in charge of the army. They're training people. They're doing all this stuff. And they, like, flipped the script on this episode, which was kind of odd because Teela is the one that's opposing and instead of Adam. Like, usually it's mm-hmm. Adam that's like, I'm not going to listen, or I'm absent-minded, or I'm playing a part, mm-hmm. whatever he's doing, whether it's intentional or unintentional. And Teela's the one that obeys orders, you know, respects command chains and all yeah. that type of stuff. And she's being a little kind of a little, you know what, like mm-hmm. take Cyclone's advice here.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was kind of weird, but that's really my only nitpick. So I love this episode. I like getting to see Roboto as well. I don't love him as much as I like Manny Faces and Cyclone, mm-hmm. which we've seen in the previous two episodes, but I still think it's a cool episode with him. So I'm still at a 4.5.
Yeah, I'm at a 3.5, and I gave Power Swords to Triclops, Roboto, and He-Man.
Oh, if I had more upper body strength...
Strength is not always the key, Teela. Remember, the reed bends before the wind, while the brittle branch snaps in two.
Right, Cyclone.
All I'm saying is, one must be less rigid in approaching a problem, more flexible of mind.
Whatever.
That's Teela, inflexible.
I'll show you inflexible.
The Teela stuff, like, this is, it briefly reminds me of old Filmation Teela, which is not a good thing. Like you said, it should be the other way around, where, like, Adam is kind of the flaky one, but they have to do something to mix it up, I guess.
Yeah, I think, and I might even be persuaded to go down to a 4 at some point, but I think the only thing that bugs me is I think they mischaracterized Teela a little bit, but I think what this one is missing that the other ones had a little bit better is the fact that the villains in the other ones, we had two bad, and then we had no villain necessarily. It was just more of a 3-way standoff with Skeletor, He-Man, and Cyclone in the previous episode. And then in this episode, yes, you get Trapjaw, or Triclops, and I do enjoy that. But the main thing that they're fighting is just these, like, detailless bone monsters, which keep multiplying, which it's nothing to get excited about. I mean, it's an interesting, formidable foe that you got to figure out how are they going to manage this? How are they going to combat this? But because there's so many of them, they lose a little bit of their, like, character.
Yeah.
So that's, like, my only nitpick, but I don't know what they would have done to combat that. So still a good episode. We've been in a run of good episodes. Let's see if that can continue with our last episode. We're going to take a break, and we're going to see if we can trust episode 18.
Okay, tough guy. Now we're both in prison. You got a busted wing. I got a busted leg. Our only chance of getting out of here is we help each other.
Very well. But your weapon stays with me.
Fine.
All right, last up today, guys, is episode 18, Trust. Air date March 8th, 2003. Written by William Forrest Claverius. We've had him once before. In an effort to strengthen the Master's defenses, Stratos journeys to the Ice Mountains to retrieve a rare metal called Eternium. And while he's there, he gets trapped with Trapjaw. So this is a Trapjaw and Stratos-centric episode. What did you think?
I liked it. I thought it was interesting. It's just one of those things that again, pairing certain masters up with certain evil warriors and seeing how they're going to interact with each other. Obviously, you know, good is good, evil is evil. There's no, you know, going back and forth for that. But I thought it was interesting, again, seeing the Ice Mountains, someplace we haven't seen before. as soon as I saw He-Man's new outfit, I was like, hey, it's Arctic He-Man, kind of like years ago there was an Arctic Batman action figure where it was basically the same thing. You put him in like ice blue type of clothing, color, armor stuff, and I'm like, When's Batman gonna show up? You know, we've got, like, as alluded to before, or actually last week, you know, we've got a voice from the past, not too distant past, here in this, which you'll talk about here in a little while. But I liked it. I thought it was interesting, especially with, you know, the lesson of, you know, trust is earned by the deeds that you do, not the words that you say.
Yeah, that's definitely a good lesson. I think my favorite part about this episode is that they actually show breaking prisoners out of the Royal Palace, of the jail. I love that, because too many times in series we have bad guys that are captured at the end of an episode, or villains that are captured at one point in the series, and then all of a sudden they're just right back with the bad guys, and it doesn't show how that happens. So I like that they're actually showing that they are breaking whatever it was, Merman and whoever, out of jail. So I think that's a nice touch. I think the Kolatax was a cool species that they come into contact with in this ice area, and it's interesting isolating Trap John Stratos and then kind of doing the thing where they're both trying to play up to the Kolatax, who's good and who's not good, almost like they're, when there's like a clone of somebody, but in this case it's just two different people, but they're both trying to act like they're the good guys.
The storm in the ice mountains has gotten worse. To send in a rescue team would only be putting more lives in danger.
Well, we have to do something.
Hey, I think I just saw He-Man pass by.
Keep trying to reach Stratos.
Right.
Cold weather, Battlecat.
I think the main problem with this episode for me is that it came after the Battle of Anwagar, the Monster Within, and Roboto's Gambit. Like,
oh, really?
Like, those were three great episodes, and if you put this episode in the middle of the New Adventures of He-Man, it'd be like the best episode of the series. So, I mean, if you put this episode in, even probably in the Filmation series, it's probably one of the better episodes. But here, coming off the heels of those three episodes, for me, it was a little bit of a letdown and a little boring. I didn't get the same movie-esque feeling that I did from the last three episodes. So, I still think it's good. It's just not as crazy good as the last three episodes were.
Yeah.
For me. I don't know what you think about that.
I mean, I like that they're kind of going after this Eternium.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of, you know, Thundrillium and Thundranium from another certain series that we love.
Yeah.
But I think that's cool. I think, you know, they have to find something new to obviously fight Skeletor's evil, kind of a thing. Because what they're using now is working, but it's not working that well.
Hmm.
Let's put He-Man on ice, shall we?
At the same time, you have not as much character development.
Right.
And while we do get introduced to these new things, and while it's awesome that the former Skeletor, Campbell Lane, got to be the voice of the lead guy, that's all well and good, but are these characters going... Like, we've been introduced to so much already to this point of the series. We're 18 episodes in out of the 38, 39 that there are. Are we going to see any of the, like, the Andrenids and the Avians? Yes, we'll see, because Buzzoff and Stratos are part of the Masters now. But, like, Chief Carnivus, any of the other characters that we come along the way, like the one where, you know, they had to, you know, had to have the peace talks and all that and everything. Like, are we going to see any of these people again? Like, that's my kind of worry about it, because they're just introducing stuff.
Right.
At the same time, I still trust in them, because they've proven to me every cartoon I've watched that there isn't many things that I can nitpick out of it.
True. Yeah, but you are right that they are introducing a lot of different species in a lot of different areas. So having some connection would be good, so it doesn't just feel like a visit of the week to a random spot in Eternia that we don't know exists. Cold weather clothing He-Man wears in the Mystic Mountains is based on the Ice Armor He-Man action figure released in 2003 by Mattel.
Yeah.
So we got that. There's another reason Eternium should sound familiar to you, because it was a plot device in the Double-Edged Sword Filmation episode back in 1983. So we did see that once before in this franchise. And then, of course, like you mentioned, the best voice from the New Adventures of He-Man, Campbell Lane, as Skeletor returns to be the Elder Kulatak. So that was cool scene. And like I said, the Kulatak species was cool. They actually combined polar bears and werewolves to try to make up that species. So that's kind of where their look comes from.
Very
Again,
cool.
Not a bad episode for me. Just a little step down from what we've been seeing, but... I'm still not complaining. As long as Campbell Lane doesn't bring the rest of the New Adventures in here, we're going to be all right.
I don't think he will.
What about staffs, power swords, or ratings for this one?
I didn't hand any out this time.
Yeah, I didn't have anything out either. And for rating, I'm in the middle of the road. I got a 3 on this one.
I'm going to 3.5.
All right. So pretty good series of episodes. I think the first one a week ago and then this last one was about the only two that were not at least getting a 4 from somebody. So that means like there was 4 pretty solid episodes in a row. So we're doing well here. We're at, episode 18. So of the series, it's almost halfway.
Yep.
One more episode and we're halfway point, I guess. So good start so far. I do remember a lot of other cool things happening, so I'm waiting for those episodes.
Absolutely.
We were observing. You have earned our trust. Not by word, but by deed.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulson.
Sure, Blaine, but... how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's got to be good.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekcastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
He-Man!
Didn't think a little avalanche could stop me, did you, Skeletor?
We are back, and we obviously thank you for listening to us as we are the Masters of Grayskull. If you'd like to leave us a message, get in contact with us, learn any of that kind of stuff, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this podcast and all the other podcasts, as well as written posts and other things. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. The show is at Pow of Grayskull. I am at TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimusello.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed the Grayskull goodness today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next 3 episodes of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which are Orko's Garden. Oh, God. Make it stop. Buzz Off's Pride. And the Snake Pit.
Uh-oh.
For now, I am TF2 and Mike with...
Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we have the power.
You've got the power!
Adam, aren't you... I guess not.